angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're gonna have, what? I can't say it good. Mary, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby. You will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey is fast. They tried to go to the hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing,
and then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how it would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Okay. Children know how to celebrate Christmas, don't they? They really do. I was more amazed at the adults that put this together. But the fact is, children love Christmas. And, you know, there's all the wonderful things that happened at Christmas time. They love all the presents. They love all the celebrations and the gifts and, all you know, the wonderful things. And adults know how to celebrate Christmas, too. I was in the Christmas place this week, and I was walking around, and here we have Bud Light ornaments. Yes, we adults know how to celebrate Christmas. I mean, we know how to celebrate all the time. See, we celebrate like, you know, you work 5 days and Friday comes, and everybody's ready to go out and relax and unwind and take it easy and go out with your friends and have fun and enjoy your nice restaurant that you like to go to and some beverages that you might like. Celebration goes on. It's a regular part. In America, we celebrate everything. We have all kinds of things that we celebrate. And so when it comes to Christmas, we just amplify it. We need more celebrations, and we have more lights, and we enjoy all the traditions that go into celebrating Christmas. I think you don't have to be a Christian to celebrate Christmas, because it's happening today out there. Everybody's celebrating. You got all these wonderful lights and wonderful things that happened at Christmas time. Christmas trees, and I love Christmas trees. I love decorated Christmas. I like going to those expensive stores where the Christmas trees are, and walk around and look at the trees that I will never own. I was like, oh, that's really nice. I'll never, how much is that one? $3,000? Definitely not. But it's nice to look at. But we celebrate. We're very good at celebrating Christmas. We have a lot of things we love about Christmas. And we do include Jesus. I mean, everywhere you go, I mean, you hear that Jesus is the reason for the season. And so people will set up nativity scenes, or they'll have a snow globe that plays Silent Night. A lot of people will even recognize that on Christmas, a baby was born, the Son of God, Jesus. A lot of people, whether Christians or not, will recognize that at Christmas time you're remembering a baby that's born. And so people sing Christmas hymns, and they play silver bells also. And many people will attend a religious ceremony, maybe go to church on Christmas Day, or maybe a candlelight service, a celebration. Christmas is also a generous time. People celebrate by giving gifts. And so we have people ringing the bell, Salvation Army. By the way, I'm not going to preach on this today, but please be in prayer for the Salvation Army, because it's under attack right now. And they're doing everything they can to take the Salvation Army out of the mainstream of American life. And they really are. And so it may be just a matter of time, because they don't believe in the politically correct stuff that's going on today. Because they're not going along with that, Salvation Army is probably going to lose millions of dollars. And so, but that's another sermon. I'm not going to preach on the Salvation Army today. But we are generous. And this time of year is a time when people are very generous and they give. But today we're going to look at the ultimate celebration. We're going to look at the celebration that we find in the Scriptures. And we're going to see four parts to a great celebration. The first part of a great celebration is the right occasion. While the world celebrates anything and everything, in Luke chapter 2 we read about a different occasion. Luke points us back to an actual point in history when Jesus Christ came into human history during the days of Caesar Augustus and during the time of a census. And while they were in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to her firstborn and wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. So I know a lot of churches will celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ with a huge birthday cake. We'll show them the birthday cake here, April. This is not the huge version, but this is a smaller version. But they have a big birthday cake for Jesus. And everybody sings happy birthday. Have you ever done that here before? Okay. Yeah. But have you during the worship service? Sometimes I'll do it during the worship service. They'll light the candles and everybody sings happy birthday. And that's one way that people celebrate the birth of Jesus. And I think it's really good idea for children, especially, because that teaches them that somebody's born. That teaches them that Jesus was born, and that can get a little confusing, because we've had two babies born here in our church in the last year. So we have to teach our children that he was a special baby, the Son of God. But the right occasion, definitely the right occasion. There's a second part to a great celebration, and that is perfect planning. Now, one of the biggest plans that people make is the birth of a child. Usually when they get the news that they're going to have a baby, then they have, 6 or 7 months to start planning for the baby. So they're collecting diapers and outfits and baby things, and they might have a baby shower, planning for the big day. But in Luke chapter 2, what we read about, this wasn't a nine-month preparation celebration, that just the baby just happened to be born in Bethlehem. But before the world was created, God planned to send his Son. If you go back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after Adam and Eve sinned, God prophesied to the serpent that one day one would come and crush his head. The Old Testament contains all kinds of prophecies that a Messiah would come hundreds of years before Jesus was born. The book of Numbers says that a star would come out of Jacob. And Jeremiah says, the time is coming when I will raise up a righteous branch. Now, one of the most well-known scriptures is found over here in Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The point is, God was planning for hundreds of years, since before time, for a Messiah to come. So this wasn't like a nine-month deal that people plan today when you have a baby. Jesus came into this world as an actual baby, more than just a sweet, adorable newborn. A great celebration involves the right occasion. It involves perfect planning. The third part of a great celebration is an amazing surprise. I think every family has somebody that likes to surprise. Do we have any surprise people? I know Daphne's not here today. But in every family, usually there's one person that loves to surprise people. When I was growing up, my dad was that guy. He loved to surprise us. He'd wrap our gifts, we'd get a gift. He'd stick some other object in with the gift. So you're feeling it, and you're like, I don't know, it feels kind of like a Connect Four game here. It was. He tried everything. He liked a surprise. And I remember one year, I was my most exciting gift ever, I thought, anyway. I came out on Christmas morning, and there was a guitar-shaped present under the tree. I was excited, let me tell you. My name was on it. I went to open it up, and it looked like an old case. And I, oh, wait, it's my case. That wasn't the gift. I opened it up, and there was a suit inside. See, he liked a surprise. Every family has somebody that likes to surprise people. And I know when you know the Christmas story, you've heard it many, many times. And I don't want you to think that these angels that appear, this was just like an angelic light show that just appeared in honor of a baby born. Let's look specifically at what the Bible says. This is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. When we read the actual account, we get a different impression. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." There were shepherds watching their flocks by night. Now we're going to talk a little bit later about the shepherds, but it says an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. I like this painting that I found here. But in the Old Testament, when God appears, there is the presence of burning light. This is what Moses saw when he went up on Mount Sinai. This is what Isaiah saw when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. It was the presence of deity. And it was terrifying. Now, we've all seen the angels in the movies. They're fun and they're charming and they're beautiful. But I tell you, I don't think I'd want to see a real angel, because a real angel would be terrifying. Can you think of a time in your life when you were terrified of something? That's the feeling that these shepherds have. They were really terrified. And it was a consistent theme when an angel appeared. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. A baby is born in Bethlehem, 6 pounds, 9 ounces, 26 inches long, time of birth, 10:30, name Jesus." No, not really. But that's not, it's not an ordinary birth. Sometimes what we're doing is we're turning Jesus' birth into just ordinary baby birth. That's not it. It's not what the angels did. They say, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. The word for news is a word for a victory message from the battlefield. The angel says, today, a Savior has been born. He is Messiah, the Lord. These are words for the birth of an emperor. Same language that you would use when an emperor was born. The word Messiah in the Hebrew means anointed one. So who was anointed in the Old Testament? Prophets and priests and kings. They were anointed with a special call from God. The word Christ and Messiah are the same word when you translate it from the Hebrew to the Greek. The angel gives the shepherds a sign. He says, you're going to find the angel in a feeding trough. That was the sign. But it's not over yet. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace to those whom his favor rests. And instantly the sky opened up. And this invisible spiritual world that is around all the time suddenly became visible. It was an army of angels. And this is a very rare occurrence. It came just like that. It was black and dark, just like our skies here. And suddenly, they appeared. Just as fast as the Spirit came on Pentecost. Just as fast as God spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus. These angels appeared. And they weren't praising Jesus because they looked over and saw this beautiful baby and said, oh, isn't he adorable? No. Jesus had always existed. They'd already seen him. They already knew who he was. But when he comes to this earth, taking on flesh, he is accomplishing a battle plan to bring salvation to the world. And life would forever change with Jesus taking on human flesh. And so all heaven rejoices because he was going to be bringing peace to everybody who believed in him. Now that is a celebration. Well, the fourth part of a great celebration is the right guest. Most parties have the guest list. They're careful to invite the right ones. They're careful to exclude the wrong ones. You know, married couples getting married have to negotiate who is going to come to the wedding. And so the bride says, no, I don't want this one. Or the groom says, I want. And then they have to go through the guest list because I don't have so much money today. So who would be selected? Who would be the ones that would receive this amazing angelic announcement? And who are the ones that would see this event that never happens? Shepherds living out in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Shepherds. I mean, shouldn't it have been some kind of wealthy person? I mean, shouldn't the announcement have been sent out by courier, RSVP? Shouldn't it have been the VIPs of Bethlehem? How about the most honored rabbis? I mean, surely they were the ones that should have been the ones to see. But the angels appear to the shepherds, and everybody thought of a shepherd as somebody of the lower class. They were seen as what we would call the old-time gypsies. That's how they looked at shepherds. They were seen as irresponsible thieves who were always gazing on other people's lands. Shepherds were seen as untrustworthy. The priest would not even consider the testimony of a shepherd in a legal case because they were unclean and they were taking care of sheep. If you called someone a shepherd in the first century, you would be insulting them. So what was the angel's message, though? The angels say it was good news for all people, all races, all nationalities, all income levels. Jesus came for all people. And God gave this announcement to shepherds for a real reason. So what did the shepherds do? Looking back at our text now, Luke 2, and looking at verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured and pondered these things in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which is just as they had been told. The angels depart, and the shepherds were excited. They left somebody to take care of the sheep, I'm sure, and they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. And they told everybody there what they had seen, what they had experienced, what the angels said, and everyone was amazed. Now, at this point, this is when most of the parties are over. See, the party's over, you've seen the baby, you've had a great celebration, everybody goes home, everybody says, "Well, hey, that was a great time. We had a wonderful time. We're going to have to go see more babies more often in the fields. And next year, we're going to have to do this again. That was just such a great time. And so we're just going to go home now." But that's not what the shepherds did here. Verse 20 says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which they had been told." The shepherds were praising God. They were glorifying Him. They were glorifying God for the words that they had heard and this beautiful announcement of the Messiah. This is who they'd been waiting for hundreds of years, and the celebration continued. It was a life-changing event, and the shepherd just kept going on and on and telling people. See, what happened that night, this actual historical event, nothing like this had ever happened like it. You can look through the whole Bible, in the Old Testament, there's not a single thing that's similar to this. This was an amazing supernatural celebration, and the entrance of Jesus came into our world, changed life. It changed the past, it changed the present, it changed the future, and this was the start of it all. So we're not just celebrating the birth of a baby, we are celebrating Jesus, the Messiah, the King of the world. I think it was first grade. First grade, I was playing with a friend of mine who lived next door. His name was Lance. He and I played together sometimes. We always had a great time. And Lance was going to have a birthday party. And he was so excited. You can imagine little boys how excited you get over a birthday party. Talking about he was going to have a party, and he was going to have cake, and he was going to have presents, and they were going to play games, and all of his friends were going to be there. And he kept telling me all about this. And I was in first grade. I believed everybody just loved everybody. I thought everybody was invited. And I thought I was Lance's friend because we hung out all the time. He told me about his party. He told me the day, he told me the time. He went on and on about this. So I asked Mom to go buy me a present. We picked out a present, wrapped it up. And the day of the party, I walked next door and knocked on the door. And his mom opened the door and said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yes, I'm here for the party." And she said, "I'm sorry, you weren't invited. We sent out invitations." Well, I ran home crying, devastated by this. I thought I was his friend. Why didn't he invite me? I live next door. And so my mom went over and talked to his mom. And they did invite me. And they did let me have some of the cake and the presents. But I will tell you, even as a little first grader, I felt mighty awkward. Because I realized I wasn't supposed to be there. And I realized for the first time in my life that I wasn't invited. Well, that's true of life. Not everybody's invited. Not everybody's included. And it's true of the church. Not everybody's welcome. Not everybody's invited. But today we're celebrating the good news. Jesus came for all people, and heaven rejoiced. All people are invited. Jesus loves all people. His love goes to all people, and that's the message of joy. Everybody's been invited. You see, it isn't an issue whether God loves a person, and it isn't an issue whether God has forgiven a person, because he loves everybody and he's forgiven everybody. The issue is not even whether we've been invited, because we've all been invited. But not everybody has accepted the invitation. So have you accepted the invitation? Christians, we don't celebrate the way the world does. We have a spiritual purpose. We celebrate when lives are changed. We celebrate when people's sins are forgiven. We celebrate when people turn from their sin and are baptized. Angels are still rejoicing today. If we could see heaven, we would see the kinds of things that they're rejoicing. What are they rejoicing about? Luke 15:10 says there's rejoicing when a sinner repents. Jesus came to save us. He appears as a baby. He lives as a man. He was in a spiritual battle for us his whole life. And when he was on the cross, that was a spiritual victory. And the empty tomb was proof that he won the battle. See, we just have to accept the invitation. If we've accepted the invitation, then we ought to be telling other people about the invitation too. That's what the shepherds did. They were out running around telling everybody about this wonderful thing that they see. See, we all have the most beautiful, wonderful message in the world. And where everybody's included and everybody's invited, we should be out like the shepherds. If we've already accepted the invitation, we should be like the shepherds, going out, inviting people, telling people about Jesus. So who are we telling? Well, our song of invitation, I wanted to find a song about rejoicing and praising God. And so when I got done, I got to singing an Easter song, but I like the words and I like the message. So if you have a decision, we invite you to make that. Let's all stand as we sing.